Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us, great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. We're going to start a new series this week, and we're going to be talking about love, and we're going to be talking about loving our neighbor. And as we go through this series, we're going to talk about what we need in order to actually love our neighbor, why it's important to love our neighbor, and how we love our neighbor. And we're going to dive into how the Torah actually talks about this and gives us instructions on how to love our neighbor. So let's go ahead and go to Mark chapter 12 and verse 28. And when one of the scribes came and heard them arguing, he recognized that he had answered them well and asked him, being Yeshua, what commandment is the foremost of all? Yeshua answered, the foremost is, hear, O Israel, Yahweh our God is one Lord. And you shall love Yahweh your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said to him, right, teacher, you have truly stated that he is one, and there is no one else besides him, and to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as himself as much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now, when Yeshua responded to him with these commands, saying to love your God with all of your heart, and to love your neighbor as yourself, those commands were actually written in the Torah itself. Yeshua is not actually giving a new command unto those who are listening to him talk at that moment in time or unto us. Those commands can be found in the Torah itself. And in answering this way, Yeshua is not getting rid of the other commands as well, because as we go through this series, we're going to see, as we look into some of those other commands, how those commands actually instruct us and guide us on how we are to love our neighbor. So by following those commandments and those instructions, we're actually loving our brother. So when we choose not to follow those commands, the question is, are we loving our neighbor? Or are we choosing to love our neighbor as we want to love our neighbor? See, God gave them the commandment even back then to love him and to love their neighbor. And then he gives them more instructions on how they are to accomplish loving him and loving their neighbor. So when he says, these are the two greatest commandments, there is no other greater commandment. It is because if we have in our heart to love God, then ultimately we're going to follow his commandments. And that is why that one is greater. Yeshua himself even said, if you love me, then you will obey my commandments. We obey his commandments out of a love for him, not out of trying to earn our salvation or trying to earn righteousness, because we cannot. We are justified by the blood of Yeshua, by the sacrifice that he made. But our love for him should cause us to want to love him in a manner that he wants to be loved. And he has laid that out for us and given us the instructions on how to love him. And the same goes to loving our neighbor. If we have a desire to love our neighbor, if we have a desire to do what is good unto them, then we are going to find ourselves actually obeying his commands and the instructions that he has given us on how to love our neighbor. We're going to be doing those things because we have a desire to love them. And it's interesting, as we go into verse 33, we see the concept where it says to love one's neighbor as himself. Okay, so the measure in which we are to love our neighbor is the measure in which we love ourselves. So we are not to love our neighbor less than we love ourselves. Okay, but this also brings in this concept that we also have to be able to love ourselves. Because if one does not love themselves, the question is, can that person love their neighbor? And so when we think about what it means to love ourselves, this isn't giving us permission to walk in pride. Loving oneself is not walking in pride. And as you begin to think about what it actually means to love yourself, walking in pride would be the opposite of actually loving yourself. Loving yourself doesn't give you license to be greedy or to be selfish. To love oneself, when you think about it, if you love yourself, number one, you're going to nurture yourself. You're going to do what you need in order to be healthy, in order to be strong. You're going to nurture yourself in your body, in your spirit, and in your mind. And that's what it means to love yourself, is that you are doing what you need to do in order to be healthy in your body, in your mind, and in your heart, in your soul, in your spirit. You have a concern for your well-being when it comes to those things. So to love your neighbor as unto yourself means that you have a concern for their well-being. You have a concern on whether or not they are healthy. Their well-being is good when it comes to their body, when it comes to their mind, and when it comes to their spirit and their soul. So you're concerned about nurturing those things within their body as much as you are concerned about nurturing those things in yourself. And another thing is to love oneself is we have to be able to forgive ourselves. If you struggle to forgive yourself, the question is, are you going to be able to forgive others if you can't forgive yourself? Remember, we are told to forgive our brothers and our neighbors who have done wrong unto us. But if you can't forgive yourself and you're walking in guilt and in shame, then you're going to have a real hard time forgiving your brother and in your neighbor. And in thus, because you're walking in that, you're going to not be able to love them. And you're going to project things upon them that is not love because you're projecting things upon yourself. So we have to be able to be healed in ourselves and in our beings, in our hearts and in our minds, in order for us to walk in the love that we have been called to walk in. So now let's look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Everyone who does not do righteousness is not of God, as well as the one who does not love his brother. So let's pause here for a moment. So John is telling us that the one who does not love his brother is not of God. They are not the child of God. They are not walking in the righteousness of God. So either we are a child of God or we are children of the devil. And he says they are being manifested, and we can tell who the children of God are versus who the children of the devil are by who does righteousness and who loves his brother. Now, remember, if we're loving our brother, then we are walking in righteousness. If we're loving our brother, then we're going to find ourselves doing that which is right. We're going to find ourselves upholding his law, the instructions he has given us. We are going to be fulfilling it, obeying it by simply having a desire to show love unto our brother. And if you want to be a child of God, we need to be one who is loving our brother. For those who do not love their brother, they are the children of the devil. Now, verse 11. For this is a message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not marvel, brothers, if the world hates you. Now let's pause here for a moment. So he goes on to give us the example with Cain and Abel. He says Cain was of the evil one. And because he was of the evil one, he slayed his brother. Cain had hate towards his brother. Okay? And why did he hate his brother? It says because his deeds were evil, but his brothers were righteous. So he hated his brother because his brother was righteous. But he was not. And God accepted Abel's offering, but did not accept Cain's. And so because of this, he hated his brother. And John likens that unto us, that the world is going to hate us because we are righteous and because we walk in love and they don't. They walk in a fake sense of what love is. The way the world defines love is not actual love. But we, when we walk according to his instructions and we are filled with him, we walk in true love and we have that true love. And the world hates us because we are righteous. So do not marvel at the fact that the world hates us because we are righteous. Now let's look at verse 14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. The one who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Now let's pause for a second here. Yeshua tells us that if you have hate towards your brother, then you have murdered him. So Yeshua even brings the instruction of not murdering your brother, and he applies it unto our hearts, okay? And he says, if you hate your brother, then you have murdered him in your heart. And John is repeating that here, where he says, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Because if you murder your brother, then you're not walking in love. You are not obeying one of the two greatest commandments. And that commandment is to love your brother as yourself, to love thy neighbor. To murder them, to hate them, is not to love them. Okay. Now, verse 16, by this we have known love, that he laid down his own life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. So John gives us Yeshua as the example of how we are to love our brother and the fact that he laid down his life for us. So Yeshua is our example. And we have been called to follow Yeshua. We have been called to walk just as he walked. So he came to this world and he showed us and taught us what it means to love our neighbor. He taught us and showed us what it means to lay down our lives for our brother, okay? So that's what we have been called to do. And in laying down our life, John gives the example that if you see your brother in need, but you close your heart against him, meaning you see that your brother needs something, but you do not help him out, how does the love of God abide in you? Remember the instruction to love your neighbor as yourself. If you love yourself, you're nurturing yourself. You're caring for yourself. You're providing for yourself what you need. So if you have that same love for your brother that you have for yourself, when you see that he is in need, then you should be moved and compelled to help your brother who is in need, because that love abides in you. Because John questions that if you do not do that, then how does the love of God abide in you? So what he is stating here is that if the love of God abides in you, then you will be compelled to help your brother who is in need. If the love of God is in you, you will be compelled to love your neighbor as he has instructed us to do within the Torah. And as you learn the Torah and read the instructions that he gave on how to love your neighbor, you will find that there are things inside of there that you have already been doing that you didn't know you were instructed to do. And the reason is the love of God was abiding in you, compelling you to do these things. So if we're going to love our neighbor as instructed to do, number one, we first have to be healed by Yeshua. We need to be walking in wholeness and loving ourselves and knowing what it means to correctly love ourselves so that we can love our neighbor. And number two, we need to have the love of God abiding inside of us. We cannot love our neighbor if the love of God does not abide in us. So we have to be filled with his spirit. When we become born again, and he comes and he places his spirit inside of us, his love abides in us. And as we as believers need to learn how to follow his spirit and how to listen to his spirit, because his spirit will lead us and then compel us on how to love our brothers. Now let's look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. Beloved, Let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. So, how do we know that his Spirit is living inside of us? How can we know that we are abiding with God? By whether or not we love our brother. God is love. And if God is abiding in you, then his love is abiding in you. His Spirit is inside of you. And that love, his love that is inside of you, is going to manifest itself outwards. And you will love your brother naturally. It will just happen because his love and his Spirit is living inside of you. If you're not filled with his love, if you're not manifesting his love outwards to your brothers and to your neighbor and to those around you, then you have to ask yourself, is his love abiding in you? What is in your heart, it is what is going to flow outwards. If his love is in you, it's going to flow outwards. If hate is inside of you, then that is what is going to flow outward. So what are you manifesting? That's how you're going to know what is living inside of you. If you are filled in your heart with your flesh, with the desires of your flesh and satisfying your flesh, then love is not what's going to be flowing outward. You're going to be flowing out hate, because your flesh is going to want to feed itself instead of loving your neighbor. So if we want to walk in his love, if we want to love our neighbor and our brother as we have been instructed to love them, we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. We need to be continually being filled with his love. And in being filled with his love, we will then be able to manifest his love outward to those around us. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity or of fear, but of power and love and self-discipline. So he has given us a spirit of love. So it is by his Spirit that we love our brother. So if we are filled with his Spirit, then we will manifest his love. We will walk according to his Spirit. If we walk according to his Spirit, we will uphold his righteousness. we will uphold his instructions. So as we go further into this series, we're going to dive into these instructions on how to love our brothers and our neighbor. And we're going to see that these instructions we will find ourselves doing naturally if we are filled with his Spirit. His Spirit is going to lead us in these things. We're going to find these things to be good because we are filled with his Spirit. His Spirit is going to teach us and guide us on how we translate the concept of loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. His Spirit will teach us and guide us on how to love. So if we can learn to be filled with his Spirit and learn how to follow his Spirit, we will uphold the law when it comes to loving our neighbor. Now let's look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now, those who belong to Messiah Yeshua crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk in step with the Spirit. So here Paul is saying, the fruit of the Spirit is love. So if we're filled with his Spirit, one of the things that we're going to see manifested in our life is love. So when he goes on to say, against such things there is no law, when he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit, the reason Paul makes that statement isn't because that if you're filled with the Spirit, the law no longer exists. It's because if you're filled with the Spirit and you're walking in love and you're walking in joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, you will uphold the law. So that is why there is no law against such things. By doing those things, by walking in those things, you will be walking in obedience to his instructions. You will be walking in that which is righteous. If you walk in love, you will uphold his law. You will not break his law. So when it comes to love, there is no law against love. Because if you're loving, you uphold it. So to those who belong to Messiah Yeshua, they have crucified the flesh and the passions and the desires of the flesh. Before this verse, he was talking about the fruits of the flesh, those works of the flesh. Okay? So our flesh is at war with the Spirit. So as we who belong to Yeshua Messiah, we have to crucify the desires and the passions of our flesh. And we have to learn to be willing to yield and walk with the Spirit. We're either walking with the Spirit or we're walking in our flesh. It's one of those two. We're either serving the Spirit or we're serving our flesh. When we serve the Spirit, we're serving righteousness. And with those, there is no law. There is no such law against us because we're walking in righteousness. We are upholding the law. But to the one who is serving his flesh, to that one, there is death. You are a servant unto your flesh. You are a servant unto sin. And unto sin, the wages of sin is death. So if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk in step with the Spirit. So if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk in step with the Spirit. That is our command. That is our instruction. To be filled with the love of God, to be filled with His Spirit, and then we are to walk in the Spirit. So to love our neighbor, the first thing is we have to know how to correctly love ourselves. We have to be filled with the love of God, and then we need to learn to walk with His Spirit, to walk in love. Learning how to crucify the passions and desires of our flesh. Learning how to yield over and be obedient unto the Spirit and the leading of the Spirit and walking with the Spirit instead of giving in to the passions and the desires of our flesh, which does not want to love our brother, which does not want to be obedient to the instructions of God. It wants to do its own thing. It wants to satisfy itself instead of taking care of thy brother. The flesh will see his brother in need and will say he loves his brother, but will not do anything and will not love his brother in deed and action. But one who is walking according to the Spirit will say he loves his brother, will see his brother in need, and will help out his brother in need, because not only will he say he loves his brother, but he will love his brother in action and in deed. Well, hallelujah, we are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back now, and shalom, y'all. Scripture quotations taken from LSB, Legacy Standard Bible, copyright 2021 by the Lockman Foundation, used by permission, all rights reserved, managed in partnership with 316 Publishing Incorporated, lsbible.org, and 316publishing.com.